It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Welcome to the Dagger Podcast. As always, joining me is Hank Joseph. Hank, how you feeling today?
Feeling good. A little bit of a raspy voice today, but you know, changing of the seasons, that's bound to happen. I'm a Georgia boy. You know, you're a Miami boy. It's going to take us some time to get accustomed to this.
Absolutely. So we were here on Wednesday, so you may think that there's not too much to talk about, but joke's on you. We got some stuff to talk about. Some huge news in the past few days regarding a sport that's not currently being played. Ime Udoka, basketball. Wow. That came out of nowhere. Woj dropped a bomb and ruined a marriage. What do you think about that, Hank? I mean, he's been married since 2010. I didn't even know it was an affair. I didn't even know he was married at the time when it first came out, but... So for news came out that let me update anyone who doesn't actually know what's going on. So Ime Udoka is the head coach of the Boston Celtics, and he was having an affair with a staff member. And first of all, you cannot be having relations with someone who works for you, especially in a business like that. I didn't know that it was an affair at the time, so I thought, okay, like, yeah, that's bad, but like, you know, it is what it is. Then I found out it was an affair. Okay, that puts a little more into it. So tell me about that.
Well, that, you know, obviously you never want that to be happening. It happened with Doc Rivers as well when he was coaching the Celtics.
Right.
You know,
might be a Boston thing.
I think it is. It's
okay.
Kind of a Boston thing. But
whoa. All right. I'm going to block that out in the editing.
It's okay. It is what it is. You know, got to get theirs. But the worst part too is that like everybody in the organization thought that it was consensual. And
was it not?
And then it came out that he had made some comments towards her that were not received in the same light, obviously, by her,
which is cardinal.
I mean, it's kind of a cardinal sin at this point. That's kind of where we've gotten with this sort of stuff.
That's like, news to me.
You just can't be doing that sort of thing.
Right.
And especially in the NBA where rumors spread like wildfire, mm-hmm. you know, it's just how it is. And honestly, that's kind of all the sports world nowadays,
right.
I feel
right.
like. You know, when there's a lot of eyes, when there's a lot of ears, you know, things are going to get found out. And Ime, after your first year, it's not even like he's got credibility as a coach, no question, just took him to the NBA Finals. But after your first year, you can't make it 1 year, really?
Full
season?
We don't know if it was this year. It could have been going on for the past few years. We don't even know.
Well, you're right. He was a coach on the Blazers staff for a while
right.
until he got to Boston.
So maybe he was... Maybe this was the reason that he went to Boston.
No, certainly not. No. It's with a Boston staffer.
No, right. That maybe this is the reason that he was having relations with someone in Boston, and she brought him on to the Boston staff. You never know.
No, you never know. Certainly not. We can't speculate more than what's
not.
Already come out. Unfortunately, he's going to have to sit out. I would assume, I read a thing on The Athletic the other day, they already have, you know, a candidate in the staff that they're very comfortable handing it off to who's been there for years. He was there with Stevens on his staff as well, and he's one of the few guys that stuck around through the coaching change. They're going to be fine, but, you know, it's just going to be talked about, and every time they lose a game, it's going to be, oh, well, if Ime was on the bench. And it's like, in the NBA, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. The players, you know, are pretty much out there coaching themselves. Still important to have a good coach, but, you know, we'll see how it affects them when the playoffs come, because... they'll be fine. They'll
right.
make it.
And so taking Ime's place is going to be Joe Mazzulla, assistant coach of the Boston
Mazzulla,
Celtics,
yeah,
also a young guy.
Yep.
Boston has a thing for young coaches, Brad Stevens, Ime, and then now Joe. Obviously, Joe wasn't the plan. But
that's kind of the NFL, too. I mean, that's just kind of the changing of the tide. You know, you need more offensive analytics. Certainly in basketball, you've seen the change of how they shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Check out Kirk Goldsberry on Twitter if you haven't. I mean, his graphs are awesome, but... you know, it's just a different game. It's all about spacing, and Uzola's going to be fine.
Right.
So you've got the players.
You think this whole relationship happened in the past year while he was coaching for the Celtics?
I don't think anything else.
Okay. Okay.
Because I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
probably.
It's pretty cut and dry, I feel like.
All right.
But, you know.
Well,
sucks.
We'll wait till that name comes out and then social media.
I think
we
all know. I think everybody already knows.
Really?
Three women, and one of them
is there only far, three women on the
far,
staff?
Just very attractive. One of them is very attractive.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know Ime's taste. We could be very wrong.
I'm sure, because he was an NBA player, I'm sure that he has good taste. Just going to put it that way.
Okay.
Right. We can move on.
He also has money.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. So that is what happened with Ime. Brad Stevens came out with a little press conference interview regarding that. Didn't seem too fond about it, but, you know, it happens, and they're kind of moving on. But
well, Brad Stevens is the opposite. Is like the polar opposite of Ime Udoka.
Right.
Just in terms of probably with women. Like, he's very comfortable. He's probably got kids, right? I would assume he's married.
Let's see. Let's check that out.
Has a kid or
Brad
two.
Stevens.
But you would just think, like, he is very, you know, coached at Butler. Great morals, great values. Mm-hmm. Not saying Ime doesn't. Right. Not a great look for him by any means. But you would think that Brad would be on the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah. So Brad Stevens is a nice man from Zionsville, Indiana.
Oh, how about that
yeah,
one?
Yeah. So yep. He's been married since 2003, and he has two kids.
There we go.
So he's a family man. We
yeah,
love
absolutely.
That, Brad. Keep it up, Brad. You're doing great.
That's great.
So, yeah, that happened.
And then let's stay in the NBA, and let's talk about, you know, Ben Simmons on
of
know,
course,
the JJ
yeah.
Redick podcast.
So what
and all
everyone
that.
Has been waiting for, Ben Simmons finally came out about the pass to Matias Thybulle that caused Ben Simmons to not hold a ball for a year. So for those of you who don't know, the 76ers.
We all know. Everybody knows. I think we all know. Because we already talked about it in the first
right, okay.
episode.
So, yeah, the Sixers, yeah.
Against the
whatever.
Hawks, of course, Ben Simmons had the ball 3.5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Had taken 4 shots in the game up to this point. I think he was, like, 1 for 4. Had, like, 3 points. Got a wide-open dunk on the baseline and just freaks it.
Yeah, so that...
You know, he was scared.
That
was
pass
scared.
To Matias Thybulle was kind of the cherry on top of that whole playoff performance by Ben Simmons, but... Ben Simmons came out on the Old Man of the Three, J.J. Redick's podcast.
Great podcast. J.J. Redick.
Amazing. So he came out, and he talked about the scenario and what was going through his head, and he quoted, I don't know if this is the exact quote because I watched it once, but he said something around the lines of, you know, it happened so fast. I didn't really think it was going to be a big deal at the time. I turned around. I had the ball. I turned around. I see a jersey coming at me. I didn't know it was Trae Young. I saw a jersey, and I saw Thybulle behind him. I know Thybulle's a very athletic
cutting
player.
Baseline,
right.
Yeah.
I see Thybulle's a very athletic player. I thought, you know, get it to Thybulle. I see a jersey. It happened so fast. And I understand that in basketball, especially in the playoffs, everything is happening so fast. Like, it's very sudden.
Yeah,
so.
But, you know, that's like if I put you out there and I'm, like, trying to play, you're going to be passing it every time. When you're Ben Simmons and you're 6'11 and all you do is attack the rim.
That's not true. He is a playmaker. He's a defender.
I understand, but I'm saying when it comes to scoring the basketball, you are a rim. You're a rim slasher. You're an attacker.
Right.
You get after the basket.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
And you've got a bunny laying there right inside the block.
Right.
I mean, it's very clear. He lost the aggressiveness.
Yeah.
He lost the desire. He lost all confidence in his game. He lost so much confidence he couldn't even dunk a basketball.
And it's too bad. I feel like regardless of who was under the basket, whether it was Trae Young or Clint Capella, I think he should have gone up with it either way.
Another thing, too, is this wouldn't – I'm sorry to cut you off, but this wouldn't be such a big deal if he just would have played the next year, like, and just brushed all that aside and just played.
Right.
But instead, like, he made it – I understand the media made it a big deal, but he made it a bigger deal by sitting back
and then forcing a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then
– of course.
Faking an injury?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume so. I would assume so.
So, yeah, but Ben Simmons is going to come back this year in Brooklyn with a not-so-confident Kevin Durant. But, well, we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, so Ben Simmons came out with that on the Old Man and the Three. I kind of understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, I don't think anyone's going to forgive him for what happened, especially Philly fans.
No, Philly fans, that's never going to be let go. And I mean,
that's
obviously,
like,
the divorce that happened was so, so bad. And Philly, you know, loved what happened. I mean, it worked out for them in the best possible way.
Right.
But he also was talking about how, you know, he found his peace or whatever, which is more important than, you know, satisfying fans and all that. And I completely agree, you know. We've talked a lot about mental health and sports in the last, you know, 6-7 years. I think Kevin Love obviously made it very clear. DeMar DeRozan was a big part of
Kevin
that.
Kevin Porter Jr.
You know, just a lot of guys that You know, I've said it. It's not all about basketball. I mean, I need to look out for myself, and I get that. But again, if it's not all about basketball, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to play the game at the highest level possible when, you know, you can't be focused. And I get that, but, like, you don't got to wear the ugliest fits on the sideline, dress like a banana, you know, the whole nine yards. Like, I just wish that it didn't have to come to this, but, you know.
It's too bad because I still think he's an all-star caliber player. 2K thinks otherwise. He's an 82 overall.
Because he should be, because they don't even know what to grade him on. Because they've only seen him play at LA Fitness.
In the past year,
yeah, so it's hard to, you know, you can't really compare those runs. But speaking of, they should let you make a My Player where it's just LA Fitness runs and, like, your max is, like, 75 and you're just, like, playing against, like, all these guys, you know, big guys, little guys. Like, I love the LA Fitness runs because it's such a diverse group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that 2K should incorporate that, like, into the park. And it's, like, if you're, like, 75 and under, you can go play at the LA Fitness court.
I think 2K's...
All bums just brick in. The game takes, like, 35 minutes.
That'll be fun. 2K has honestly gotten so much worse over the years.
You said you bought it.
I bought it. I've been playing it. There are some different things, but it's the shot meter is awful.
It's always changing. It's awful. It's always changing, and it's like they don't change the button in football to pass.
Right.
Like they don't.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
Like
I just got used to this shot meter.
Exactly.
And now I can't. I'm bricking with Steph Curry.
I know, dude. I played 22, and it took me so long. I played 22 this summer just because you know it's that. When you're at home and you're working and some of your friends are gone, like, you need that late night game.
Of course.
And, you know,
yeah, it's the best.
And, you know, you get on runs. And I'm, like, I'm proud to be a big guy. I love being a big guy. I know how to box out.
Really?
I love blocking
shots.
I
always go with a guard.
No, I mean, because, of course, but it's also, like, it gets so difficult year after year because you've got to get the right, you know, release. You've got to get the right, you know, jump shot 63, jump shot 27.
63, set 54.
Rudy Gay,
release
54, 46% mix with dirt. It's like the whole thing. Yeah. It's like, dude, I just want to shoot the basketball.
Right.
Like, I don't want to have to do,
like, oh,
I don't want to have to watch 30 YouTube
videos. There's a greater
chance
of getting a green release. It's like, come on.
It's like, here's the badges you need to be the best crossover guy. And
it's
like,
so annoying.
Okay,
just play some basketball.
To 8-year-olds that watch YouTube every day and, like, curse me out on the Xbox chat, and I'm like, where's your mother? Like, where's your mother? Please. You're just buying all this VC.
And they, you know what they do? They
you got
wait.
A backpack on.
They don't talk the whole game, and then after the game, they'll
like,
turn their
trash.
Mics on.
You're trash.
They got, and then just, and I'm just like, yo, where were you in the beginning of the game? In the middle of the game? Like, why are you talking to the end of the game? And then the audio cuts.
It's that,
there's nothing to do about it.
Michael Jordan with the bat, and he's like, let's see if they're talking that shit, you know, and score 0-0. That's like what it is, and it's like, I'd love to just pull up on this 8-year-old and just dunk in his mouth, like, in his driveway. But I can't. I can't do that.
Rejected by Anthony Davis. So, yeah, that's the Ben Simmons scenario. Obviously, I don't really know. We'll see.
He can change the narrative this year. And
he could. He's
look, you're playing with KD and Kyrie. It should
amazing
be,
offensive players on his team.
Joe Harris is going to come back, too. I mean,
there you go, Seth
DeAndre
Curry.
Jordan, obviously. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. So let's talk about, did you watch this game versus Japan, the USA-Japan game?
I did.
So USA went into it, I think they were minus like 600.
Did you watch?
No. I think they were like minus like 500, 600 going into it. Like it should have been a wash. USA, zero shots on goal.
Yeah.
You know, just dive into a little bit of how embarrassing that performance was.
Yeah, so obviously USA was projected to blow out Japan, as you may
it's the best
imagine.
Team that they've had since probably, what, the Dempsey years, maybe?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I put some notes here. Gio Reyna, he plays for Borussia Dortmund. Greg Berhalter, also on the team. Those are two amazing strikers and midfielders. Gio Reyna and Weston McKennie, excuse me. Greg Berhalter, the head coach for the USA team. He's a defensive head coach. He likes to play in the back. But USA doesn't really have a good defensive team. They have those two offensive players right there. So he plays more in the defense and doesn't get the ball to the offense that much.
Pulisic didn't play.
Right. So
he's
kind of
overrated anyway.
Right. So it's kind of like Tom Allen, you know, defensive
head
coach.
Yeah, actually very, very similar.
Right.
I agree.
So, yeah, so he plays a lot with the defense side of the team. So he always focuses on the defensive side and doesn't pass the ball to the offensive side. So for that reason, they didn't get any shots on goal, which is inexcusable. And obviously there's going to be something's going to have to change in when it comes to the World Cup, because this was just an exhibition game, just a friendly match, last friendly match before the World Cup. But this was an important game because this was the game before the World Cup, which means all the players are fighting for a starting spot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, obviously, these players are going full 100%, and it just didn't show. So, obviously, I don't think this game really mattered for the players are not going to really get that starting spot. It's kind of hard to tell who played well, who played didn't play well, because you didn't. Obviously, the offense didn't play that well. Defense played terrible. So I don't really know what's going to happen. I think they'll be fine.
Look, they just didn't want to show anything. That's why.
Right.
That's why they didn't want to get into shots on goal. They didn't want to show any other players.
Sure.
One could say.
Yeah. Possibly.
Just try and spin this some other way.
Yeah. Right. It's like going out and warming up and just playing awful and then just coming into that World Cup.
And then just being like, guys, the good thing is
we were joking.
The good thing is we were just messing around. Yeah. You know, we were just messing around.
It's possible. It's very possible.
I hope.
Because like you said, this is the best USA team since those Dempsey, Donovan,
Howard
days.
And I mean, that just sucks. Like I woke up to it this morning. I'm going to be a big fan when the World Cup arrives, but I mean, we didn't even qualify last year, last time around.
It's too bad.
To think that I have any faith in the U.S. soccer team, outside of the women's team, I'd watch every game the women play because they're electric.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they score goals.
Yeah.
We don't do that on the men's side. So you've got it in here. If we remember our tennis conversation.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. We know that.
You know, Nike versus Nike. Federer going to be playing.
It's his last game. He hasn't played in over a year.
Last match.
Come on, man.
Hey.
Come on, man.
Hey, I'm not going to let you get away. I'm not going to let you get away easy, all right? We've got a lot to learn about tennis.
All right, last match. He hasn't played a match in over a year
due to a knee. Could not be his last match either if he wins.
I think it's his last match.
Ooh.
I think it's his last match. And it's going to make it a good one because he's playing doubles and he's playing with the old rival, Rafa Nadal, the face of Nike.
Wait, he's playing with Nadal?
In doubles.
How is that fair?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but he's playing with Nadal, doubles, and he's playing against Francis Tiafoe and Jack Sock. And that's going to be an amazing game.
So he's not doing singles?
No.
Probably can't do that.
He's doing doubles.
After the knee injury, he's older.
So who would have thought that Nadal and Federer are going to be playing together?
Yeah, it would be really sick if they both, like, wore, like, their OG, like, you know, when they all would wear all the white Nike and the headbands. It'd be cool if Federer, like, brought it back. But it would be cool if they did.
So that's going to be fun. That game starts at 3:30. Sorry, that match,
starts
at 3:30.
Today?
I believe today.
Okay, wow.
So that's going to be a must-watch after this podcast is over. And we will talk about that next episode for sure. So that's the tennis. That's what's going on in tennis. Let's move on to some football, should we?
Let's stick with basketball for just a second. I went to IUBB Media Day yesterday, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm covering the team for IUSTV this year.
Okay, absolutely. All right, that's awesome.
Went yesterday. I've got some of my notes written down from, you know, the press conference with Mike. And then, you know,
we
interviewed some of the players afterwards. My first note here that I wrote down on my notepad is, Mike is so drippy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He went out there, black shirt tucked, black pants, just such a sleek fit for a guy
he can pull anything off.
You know, for a guy that played a long time ago. I mean, he just screams drip. It's so sick. He looked so tough up there. He kind of talks and stands there kind of like a statue, which is so funny. It's like it's so NBA. It's so crisp just how professional he is. And wow, I mean, I got to tell you, our freshmen and it's tough. You know, you're not watching them play or anything. We'll save that for Hoosier Hysteria. But freshmen looked so good. CJ Gunn, you know, he came in at 6'4". I mean, that was always what he was listed at.
Were they playing?
When he recruited. No, they didn't play. But I sat next to CJ and I interviewed him for a second and I said, you look way bigger than when I watched you at Lawrence North.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm about up to 6'7".
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. So we got
Fino, a shooter.
Yeah, so we got Fino, who's 6'5", 6'6", facilitator, can do it all, handle the rock, play great defense.
Right.
He's going to be the two guard, if I had to guess.
Starter?
It's going to be X, Fino, Cop, of course.
You think they're going to give him the starting spot already?
I absolutely think
they didn't
give
Lander the starting spot.
Well,
but
Lander
also,
stinks.
That was under Archie.
Because Lander stunk.
Right.
Because he was not good. He was not ready for – he was not ready
for Big
Ten play.
He was not ready at the time, but –
He
right,
never,
right
he
when
was never
right when he came
ready.
Out of high school, the expectations were
he
very
was
high.
Fast, and he should have never reclassified.
Yeah.
That was a horrible
idea.
He
ruined his career.
Horrible. Well, we'll see. Hopefully, you know, with Western Kentucky, he can find that magic. But you could just tell. I mean, the guys that he was playing against, I don't really think that the talent at the Adidas in the Adidas Gauntlet. I don't think that it compares. That's why you want guys like Fino and Malik, mm-hmm. you know, that played in EYBL and Nike EYBL
right.
because that's where the best competition is.
Right. And Lander
not
also
that they
played
play defense.
He played
at
public schools. That's also
a big difference in these type of players. I also think that, you know, I know all the hype around Indiana high school basketball. I know like how great it is. And, you know, historically it's amazing, but still, you know, the competitiveness regionally until you're getting into the state playoffs, I just don't think that it really matches up with the Texases, with the North Carolinas, the New
right.
Yorks, the Georgias, the Californias, you know, the Floridas, of course.
There you go.
I know you're waiting for it. So that's why, like, having two guys that, you know, came from Montverde, I mean, all everybody could talk about was we talked to Race, you know, later in the day, and he just was just, like, saying how appalled he was pretty much at how good Malik is in the post, you know, how
oh, yeah.
how he plays at his own pace, how you can't speed him up, you can't slow him down. He's going to play at his own pace. Great footwork around the basket, great touch around the basket. And that's front court depth that we haven't had ever since Trace and Race have
right.
been here. We've never had that. Race said Duncombe has put on a bunch of weight.
Really?
You know, Logan Duncombe's
oh,
put on
awesome.
A bunch of weight, super
great.
Strong.
Great.
He's going to be
very
a
lanky
real force
last year.
And Race
so.
Said, exactly.
Yeah.
He didn't play.
Right.
And Race said, you know, yeah, this first practice, you know, I get bumped from the back and I got moved. And I was like, he said, who just moved me? And he goes,
Trace?
It was Logan. Like,
really?
Logan, yeah. I mean, he's
wow.
gotten big. So
good for him.
A lot of credit, and you saw this with Race's transformation last year. A lot of credit to Cliff Marshall and that athletic training staff. They are, I mean, they are really, really good. You know, they cut Race's body fat from like 12.5%
oh, yeah.
to like
oh,
4%.
Yeah. Huge transformation.
You know, last year. And, you know, it's paying its dividends off with these new freshmen. They all look great. Caleb Banks look great. I didn't even talk about him yet.
Yeah. Just waiting for that.
But yeah, I mean, Mike's quotes, you know, all the questions are about the expectations. They've never had these kinds of expectations. The
right.
expectation is to win a Big Ten championship.
Absolutely.
Because they have the roster. They have the depth. I think that they have the most depth
mm-hmm.
in the country.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the
obviously,
Big Ten championship
freshmen,
has always been the ceiling for them. But
honestly,
I think the ceiling right now
it's a national championship.
Absolutely.
It is. And, you know, Mike said, I didn't come here, you know, for any other reason
right.
but to hang banners. I
yeah.
came here to win Big Ten
and
championships and to win NCAA championships. And, man, those five banners look good up there, but one with
right.
2023
right.
would look a hell of a lot
oh, yeah.
better.
There's one thing that I got off Woodson that really clicked in my head, and I really respected that he said. He said something about, you know, teams come in ranked. All right, but the rankings really don't mean anything. It's what team comes down to the last spot in the tournament.
Yeah, it's, you know, the rankings don't mean anything because preseason, nobody's played a game.
Right.
And that's what he kept saying
yeah.
is, we play Marion, that's when the season starts. When that ball goes up in the air, when that whistle blows, that's when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's 0-0. Rankings aren't shit. You know what I mean? They're
yeah.
just not. So it's 0-0. The score's 0-0. Records are 0-0. You know, that's how it's all going to be until that first tip.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen Mike smile so much. I mean, he was giddy in that press conference. I mean, you could tell he was talking about the freshmen. You know, he was laughing, talking about X, obviously, in April. You know, X had the situation with the DUI.
I love how
know,
Mike
bad.
Handled that situation.
And Mike, you know, Mike's an adult.
Yeah.
You know, he coached in the NBA. It's not like he doesn't treat these kids like kids, you know what I mean? Well,
no.
We can call them kids because we're almost older than everybody
else. I think he treats them more like his kids.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, it's very much, look, you got to do it yourself. You know what I mean? I can't do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to grow up on your own. I can't help you grow up.
Right.
You know, I can just teach you from my past experiences. And that's kind of where he's at. And he said, yeah, I mean, X, you know, made a big mistake and you can either own it, move past it. And it seems like that's what they've all done.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think people were
expecting
that Mike to say something like that.
Yeah, and I mean,
X,
it's
like,
because, I mean, what, he's probably been talking about it for the last 3 months
right,
outside
right.
of the media, so,
like,
you know.
They asked him what happened, what's going on with X, and he said, you know, that's behind us. Like,
yeah.
It happened, he learned from it, he's a stronger guy, he's grown from it.
He looked good, too. I mean, Mike said, you know, he expects him, you know, being the floor general at Indiana, being the field, you know, being the field general, essentially taking it back to Bobby Knight's days. I mean, that is the position. Mm-hmm. That was always the hardest press position when Bob was here. And guess what? It's the same way for Mike. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, me and X fought last year, you know. I mean, it was he's a hard-headed kid. And when things aren't going his way, you know, it's tough. It's tough for him. It's tough for the team because everything has to run through him.
Right. And Woodson did say, to go off the ranking statement that he had, he said that his senior year they were ranked number one and they didn't win the championship.
Yeah, so rankings don't mean anything. Exactly. Isn't that hilarious? So, you know, coming off the championship, of course they're ranked one. And
so who, like, you know, number one, like, oh, they're going to win it. They're going to go all the way. Rankings don't mean anything. Yeah, obviously, they mean something. Like, yes, the teams that end up winning it are probably ranked preseason, but it's not always one, two, or three.
Look at Auburn when they got ranked one. They lost the next week. I mean, that's just...
UNC's been ranked pretty low in the past few years, and they've made it far.
Of course, because in college basketball, when you just have a one next to your name, guess what that means? You got the biggest target. You just do. So everybody wants to knock you off that pedestal. And I mean, that's kind of where Mike's at. He's like, that don't mean anything to me. You know, he was like, I saw on an AP poll, we were top 20. I'm sure we're higher than that. He doesn't know. He doesn't care because it doesn't matter.
Right.
And what was I about to say? I mean, he said, you know, we've got guys who can make a crack at the next level. They're having a pro day next week or in a couple weeks, I think. First time Indiana's ever done that.
Awesome.
Because, you know, he said.
Can you explain that?
Yeah. So, I mean, pro day, obviously, it's just like football. You know, NBA scouts are going to come in. They're going to watch them work. Obviously not the whole team.
I did hear.
Yeah. They're not, you know, they're not going to watch, you know, Logan Duncombe, but. Look, Fino, Malik, Race, that's what you got to call Hutch and Fino now. Just call him Fino. It's just easiest. That's what they are. That's what Malik calls them. They're boys. I'm not boys with Fino yet, but I'm going to call him that anyways.
JHS or?
No, see, that's like, that doesn't roll off the tongue. Much. Fino just rolls off the tongue. You know, Trace, Race, X.
Or Hood Fino.
Maybe Cop, I guess. I would assume Cop would also be
If Cop gets his three-point percentage up, then he could be a threat.
Man, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing, you know. It, you know, Mike said, look, we were not a good 3-point shooting team.
Right, I was going to get
to that. And that is what it is. They just weren't. And a huge part of that is Miller didn't shoot the ball well. Peace Stu didn't shoot the ball well outside of a couple games. Tamar came in and had flashes of excellence, but still not the consistency that you really wanted.
Someone who's getting better every year behind the arc is Race Thompson.
I agree. And, you know, Trace attempted three pointers last year. And look, I mean, all offseason, you know,
I've been seeing him put up a few shots in the gym. Yeah.
When you're attempting to go to the combine or attempting to go to the draft, you have to be able to show that you can execute that shot because not everybody's DeAndre Jordan. You know what I mean? You can't just be a rim runner all the time in the NBA. But on Trace's,
this is the second time you mentioned DeAndre Jordan.
I know. I like talking about him. I just like him. He's just super gritty. He just gets to the basket.
Out of all people, like Dwight Howard or Bill Russell or
Bill Russell. What am I? 75 years old. I never even watched Bill play. But yeah, I mean, it's just Mike said. Look, all this talk is that, you know, he has to shoot or he has to be a shooter. He doesn't have to be any of that. If he can hit a 16, 19 foot jumper. That's just as efficient for us as him making a three.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to make a lot more elbow jumpers than he will three-pointers, and he's going to attempt a lot more, too. So I'm the biggest pessimist that I know, personally, when it comes to sports. Growing up a Georgia sports fan, all we ever did was lose. So I'm a big pessimist, and being at this school, all we've ever done is, you know, not defy expectations, like always fall below them. This is the year, my last year here, and we're going to be damn good. That's all I can say. We're going to be damn good.
I have a lot of confidence in this team. I really do.
We get to see UNC. We get to see Kansas. We get to see Arizona. We get to see three teams before Big Ten play that we could see in the tournament. That's just never been the case.
Right.
And Xavier.
And they're not going to match up some no-name team with no high expectations against UNC.
Yeah, and Woodson said we're not.
Especially at Assembly
Hall.
I this mean, is a home game against UNC.
Absolutely.
Non-conference, home game. Yeah. They have a lot of confidence in this team.
Well, I mean, look, Woodson said, we're not running from the schedule. We're not going to.
No.
Because what does that get you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Gets you nothing. So we're not running from the schedule. I love to hear that. IU's not running from the schedule. They're playing some big boys this year. And No reason. There's no reason for them not to win the Big Ten this year. There's no reason. Maybe the tournament's different, but I'm talking about the regular season. There's no reason for their name to not be at the top of the at the standings at the end of the Big Ten regular season this year.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Let's talk about some football.
I just want to mention two things before we get to football. I did forgot to mention when we were talking about soccer and the World Cup, we have a new artist that is going to be performing at the World Cup. He's making a song, and it's not Shakira. It's Lil Baby. Lil Baby is making a World Cup song. I'm so concerned. I'm excited, but I'm a little optimistic on what's going to happen.
You optimistic or pessimistic?
I'm getting my words mixed up. Yeah, so,
optimistic means like you're like, you think it's going to be good.
No, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah, so you're optimistic. I'm optimistic, exactly.
I'm the opposite. I think this is going to go poorly. I love Baby. I mean, I'm one of the biggest Baby fans I know, but the World Cup and Baby, I don't know how much soccer he's ever watched in his whole life. That just doesn't seem... I mean, you've got Waving Flag, you've got Waka Flocka,
I think it's
and then
be
what's
good.
Baby's song going
to
be?
I think it's going to be good. It's... Who knows? We'll see. Who knows? It's going to be fun.
Shout out to football, that's me. I'm on TV. Yeah, it's going to be goofy. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be goofy. What was the other thing you
Real
to
quick,
talk about?
I just want to talk about baseball real quick. I do want to apologize. Last episode, I got my statistics wrong, and I said the Yankees were 5 wins, magic number, away from the playoffs, but...
Oh, my bad. That's coming out of my thing.
Anyways, anyways, yes, there. So I totally screwed up, and I said the Yankees' magic number was 5 to clinch the postseason, but the Yankees are clinching the postseason.
Yeah.
Last night, the Yankees beat the Red Sox, clinched the postseason. Aaron Judge has yet to hit his 61st home run, so that means the Maris family has to keep coming to games. And I love that. I think that's so amazing that the Maris family, Roger Maris. Roger Maris has the American League record for home runs, 61, beat Babe Ruth back in 1961.
I thought Babe Ruth hit 61.
No, Babe Ruth hit 60. Aaron Judge just tied Babe Ruth for 60. Next up is Roger Maris, who previously beat Babe Ruth.
Makes a lot more sense.
So the Maris family is coming to games to witness this. Unfortunately, Maris passed away many years ago. But his kids.
Oh, okay.
His kids are in attendance.
Cool.
And something cool about this is that Roger Maris hit his 61st home run against the Boston Red Sox. So.
Oh, he was also on the Yankees?
Yes.
Oh, of course. Of course he was.
Roger Maris hit his 61st home run against the Red Sox, and Aaron Judge is currently playing the Red Sox. So I think that'll be a pretty fascinating thing to witness if Aaron Judge does hit his 61st against the Red Sox. Honestly, as a Yankee fan, would not want to see it against anyone else. But yeah, Yankees had a walk-off hit last night in the 10th inning. Amazing game. Very exciting. Clinched the postseason. We'll see what happens in October. The bullpen is not going to cut it, so somebody's got to change there. But that's my rundown on the baseball and the Yankees. So let's move on to some football.
Let's talk about it. All right. So I'm just going to give out this quick little lock here, real quick. Going to make it easy for everybody. Georgia Bulldogs first quarter, minus 13. They're playing at home versus the Kent State Golden Flashes. I don't know the last time. Well, actually, Kent State has had the craziest three-game stretch. So they started, dude, listen to this out of conference thing. Like,
is the commercial going to pop up again?
No. So, smaller schools, you know, they get paid to go play the big schools and basically get the kicked out of them.
I got a lot of bleep out after this.
That's okay. Kent State played.
Making this editing harder for me.
Kent State played at Washington. I'll add a marker. Kent State played at Washington. First game. Lost by 25. Then played at Oklahoma. Lost 33-3. Then they played Long Island. Beat the brakes off them, fortunately. And now they have to play Georgia. I mean, like, can you imagine that? Like, as an offensive lineman at Kent State, you have to go against those three schools, like, within 4 weeks. Like, that's just so insane, and I just don't see a world where Georgia just doesn't come out like they've come out every game this year, you know? Mm. And obviously, I don't want to jinx it or anything, but, I mean, I'm a huge fan. I mean, I just think that they're those dudes. I've already thrown in my future for them. But, I mean, they're an NFL team. So, would you take Kent State over Jacksonville Jaguars? Probably not. Because that's kind of what this game is.
Probably not.
So Georgia, first quarter minus 13. Just had to get that out of the way. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyways, NCAA this weekend.
Yep.
Got some games. Clemson takes on Wake Forest.
Not many games.
Not many games. We got some. It's
a pretty weak slate.
Yeah, so Clemson takes on Wake Forest. Florida takes on Tennessee. That's where College Game Day is going to be taking place at. Texas taking Texas Tech. That's not a good game, but it's a fun game because it's Texas and Texas. Texas A&M takes on Arkansas. And Maryland and Michigan. That's noon kickoff.
Yeah, Maryland and Michigan might be a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. Might be a bloodbath. I like Maryland. I like Tully a lot. I just Michigan's bigger, stronger, faster. That's just kind of always how it's been. But Talia, and I don't think Maryland's played nobody yet.
All right, so let's do some quick predictions. Okay. Clemson, Wake Forest, give me it.
So Wake Forest last year, they've got Hartman back, their quarterback. The Clemson defense just gave them the work last year. I see that happening once again. Let me look up the score real quick. I like Clemson in this game. I understand DJ hasn't, been that guy necessarily. But yeah, Clemson beat them 48-27, and Wake Forest was ranked 15 in the country. I think Clemson comes out fired up at Wake Forest. I still think Clemson wins the game outright. I think 7's kind of a trap spread, but I'm still taking Clemson and the points.
Okay. Florida, Tennessee.
Florida's won 9 of the last 10 of these games at Tennessee. Anthony Richardson has thrown 4 interceptions and 0 touchdowns this year. 4 interceptions, 0 touchdowns. He can run the ball, don't get me wrong. Kid's got wheels. And he can throw it, but once they get to the red zone, they always seem to get stumped. Tennessee's playing the best ball that they've ever played, probably since the Josh Dobbs era. When they beat Georgia and Jacob Eason on that walk-off, that bomb into the corner of the end zone. So I'm taking Tennessee minus 10.5. I'm taking the points. Could also tease it down and just maybe take the under, but I'm taking Tennessee, absolutely.
All right.
Hammering them.
Okay, Texas Tech. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, Texas should run away with this, but you know the Red Raiders, man. They always play good games against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Minus 7 is also really low. I think they're really trapping you into taking that Texas minus 7. Over under 61. Texas defense good. I'm just going to take Texas Tech plus 7. I don't know if I really like that. I haven't watched them that much. I know Texas Tech isn't that good. Not nearly as good as they've been in the past.
Over under 61, taking the over or the
I'm
under?
I'm not taking the over. Okay. It's always a shootout, but the Texas defense, very good. Very good. Very good defense. Played very well against Bama. But that's kind of college football. Like, they don't always play to what they're good at. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes teams just show up. That's what I love about college football. And, I mean, Texas Tech, I mean, they've got a dude, so I think Bijan Robinson also runs all over them. So if you just want to take his over rushing yards, I like that as well.
Aggies are taking on the Razorbacks.
It should be Arkansas. Texas A&M has not played well this year. Obviously, that embarrassing loss to App State at home. And Arkansas is not favored, which is insane to me because Pittman's got a squad, so many returners on this team. You know, KJ Jefferson at quarterback, obviously, and then Sanders at running back. I mean, so many guys. He's an Alabama transfer. Arkansas is just such a better team. So why is Texas A&M minus 2? You know why? Because Vegas knows something. They always do.
Always. Something up their sleeve.
And
there's
obviously, I wouldn't say I'm a veteran gambler, but I have, been betting for 4 years now. Don't listen, Mom and Dad, please. Don't listen to that.
How old are you?
I'm 20. I'm 21.
Oh. If I did the math right.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, I don't even know if it was legal in Indiana when I started betting, obviously. But, such a trap. Arkansas should win. That's all I'm going to say. Arkansas should win. I'm not gonna give out any advice on that because that just seems so screwed up.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I feel like you already answered my question already about this one, but Maryland, Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, I think Michigan will roll them.
Yeah.
I think J.J. McCarthy, I think that they love playing with that dude. And how could you not? I mean, he can do everything. Yeah, that's it. That's simple.
So that's the NCAA. There's really nothing more than
that.
Oh,
we missed two games.
Two games?
Two games.
Excuse me? Give me it.
No, you're okay. Just two Midwestern battles here.
All right, go.
ABC night game, Wisconsin at Ohio State.
I was going to put that, but
Ohio State's minus 19.5. Wisconsin, sneaky, always a good defense.
Of course.
Graham Mertz is terrible. Running back is super good. And why am I blanking on his name? Oh, yeah, Allen for Wisconsin. He's a great running back. And Ohio State run defense. Pretty good. Their secondary is shaky. So Stroud should they should run over them. Jackson Smith's healthy. Marvin Harrison, Julian Fleming, Idize Uboka. I think I said that right. Something like that.
You say Ime Udoka?
No, EJ. I think it's EJ Uboka. Okay. He's this freshman wide receiver, just an absolute stud.
I've never heard of him.
So Ohio State should just be able to sling it all over the floor. But if you're Wisconsin, you're going to be playing a lot of prevent. Ohio State should beat the brakes off them. And then here we go.
Ready.
The Hoosiers. Oh, Hoosiers.
My bad.
How are we forgetting?
Excuse me.
Well, because, you know, we're 3-0. It's easy to forget, I guess. We play at Cincinnati. Take Cincinnati first half. We're the worst first half football team I've ever seen. Like, we are the worst first half football team
I've
ever
seen.
You know
what I think?
And you know what that means? I think Tom Allen's a really good second half coordinator, you know? But first half, I just don't think that we have the best coaching staff, and I just think that we get out-game planned every single time.
There's something I noticed about the first half and the second half. Everyone leaves after the first half. And you know what that means?
Well, probably because we're playing teams like Idaho and Western Kentucky.
But remember 2020 when the Hoosiers were ranked and no one was allowed to attend games?
I do.
I think there's something about the Hoosiers playing with no one in the stadium.
Yeah, it's a lot quieter, you know? It's almost
focused.
Perfectly quiet. Yeah, exactly.
Something about that. So I'm going to, I might not attend some Hoosier games and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe it's you.
First half blowout.
Might be you.
Might be me. No, it's not me. It's everyone attending the games. Preferably the students.
I think it's you.
You think it's me? Yeah. It may be me. All right, I won't go to games.
I'm just taking Cincinnati first half at home. Love that. I think that they're very good at football.
All right, so that concludes the NCAA
Absolutely.
For this weekend.
It certainly does.
But we got a few NFL games.
We do.
Starting off with the Bills-Dolphins, Battle of the QBs. Tua is on a quote-unquote hot streak.
Wait, Battle of the QBs. You must have skipped Matt Ryan versus Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I know. I know. I know what I did. So, Tua.
Yeah,
Tua
dude, it's
going to
be
Josh
an awesome
Allen.
Game. It's going to be an awesome game. Buffalo, their last 20 wins. You ready for this one?
Go.
All by double digits or more. Their last 20 wins.
Really?
Yeah. Every single win of their last 20 wins, double digits.
Okay, so what does that mean for them?
That means if they win, they're going to cover the spread by at least 4.5 points. I mean, I'm not trusting the Dolphins yet, to be honest. They played a bad Patriots team in week one, and then, I mean, they were getting destroyed by the Ravens, who just crumbled in the second half. So, look, if you want to go with the safe play, you just take, you know, Hill and Waddle over receiving yards. But the Bills' defense has been getting to the quarterback. I see that continuing. So I'm taking the Bills, 100%. How could you fade them? You can't. Until they lose, you have to ride the wagon, you know? Mm-hmm. That's just kind of where I'm at.
So the next one is a big one that I'm going to talk about. This is two of the greatest QBs to ever touch a football. Ooh. I'm talking Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I was thinking the same thing. Just going to be, well, no, you forgot about Jimmy G and Russell Wilson, too.
Oh, excuse me.
And then Cooper Rush and Danny Jones on Monday night.
It's
absurd.
No, so,
it's an absurd duo.
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. This game's going to go down in history. This may be the last time that these two amazing.
Yeah,
QBs
I think
play
so.
Against each other.
I think so. Wow, I'm gonna get really sappy.
If it's gonna be one of them, it's probably gonna be Rodgers who's gonna retire. I don't think Brady's retiring anytime
soon.
No,
I think you're wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think Brady's marriage is, you know, I mean, the only way Brady gets Giselle back is if he's done after this year. I'm gonna
is
say
it,
it.
Is it worth it?
I'm gonna say it. She told me that.
She told you that?
Yeah. Fireside chats.
She tweeted out to you?
No. We were just
go, Hank. You
no,
got.
No, we were just talking on the phone last night.
Okay. So, yeah, that's going to be a great game. Aaron Rodgers is not getting much help from his receivers.
Yeah, I was a fool, and I thought, like, Randall Cobb was going to be, like, that dude. And then he just got one catch in the first game.
Sammy Watkins played very well.
He played very well last week. But, I think that the Bucs have a pretty strong secondary
they should be fine.
Winfield and, you know, Murphy Bunting. So
Aaron Rodgers without his homeboy Devontae is... It's just not working
out. But Mike Evans is suspended.
Mike Evans gets in so many fights.
It's only against one guy. It's always only against Marshon Lattimore. Always. three times they've gotten into fights. Three times.
It's like they have like some sort of
beef
or something.
Well, it is divisional. I mean, it also is divisional matchups, you know. And he said, what do you expect me to do? It's Tom Brady. You know, he said that to the ref. Like, obviously pleading his case, I would do the same thing.
Right.
And then
Chiefs play the Colts. That's going to be a blowout.
It should be.
Should be
but
a blowout.
You know what?
At
least. It won't be because Vegas has it at +5.5.
You're kidding.
I'm serious. So it's not going to be.
Vegas knows something.
Dude, they always do.
They know something.
Falcons, Seahawks, even. What is Geno Smith versus Mariota? That's the best matchup. Actually, Fields against.
I don't even know what you're looking at. He's got a different screen than me. What? What's going on?
The Texans, 0-1-1 versus the Bears, 1-1. It's just so funny.
Interesting.
So, yeah, definitely some beaters in the NFL
schedule. Giants, Cowboys.
Well. Ravens, Patriots going to be a great
Giants,
game.
Giants, Cowboys is a classic.
Which one?
Giants, Cowboys. Giants are 2-0. Cowboys are 1-1.
I mean, Giants shouldn't have problems.
Shouldn't?
They probably will.
They probably will. It's about time.
Cooper Rush will probably start 2-0 as a quarterback, and then Dak's going to lose the job.
Yeah, so that's what all I have for the for NFL this upcoming week. Do you have anything to add on? Anything? I do want to add one more thing before we end this show. Obviously, something I love saying at the end of the show is "Let's ride." Miller Kopp came out with a little clip. I will add it in after the show when we edit in. Miller Kopp came in for media day. Classic video. I love it. He referenced Russell Wilson, and it could not have been.
More
a better
cringe.
Person
it could
not
have
been a better
more
person
cringe.
To
could
reference
not have
him.
Been more cringy.
So I will add no that question. In at the end of this podcast. But that concludes this week's, or sorry, this today's podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will come back on Tuesday,
and we're gonna have an interview next week.
We will
we're
have
not
an interview.
Gonna say who it is, but we're gonna have
we're gonna
one
have a
next
guest.
Week. Absolutely, it's gonna be awesome.
Super exciting. So make sure to tune into that. We'll be back Tuesday. But that concludes this episode of The Dagger. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, TikTok. You want to say that?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, please.
No. I was going to say, I'll say what you say at the end.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. So, yeah, follow us on Twitter, TikTok, SoundCloud, YouTube. Subscribe, please. We're looking for more fans, more subscribers. It would mean the world to us. We're not getting
We're
any...
also so funny. So, like, I don't know why people aren't listening.
So attractive, so funny. And we're just getting, like, 2 views on YouTube. I mean, we're putting in an hour of our days to entertain you guys.
They don't owe us anything. We owe the listeners everything.
No,
we would
appreciate it though.
Anything.
That we're recording for an hour. We would appreciate a view from one person from every.
Hey, we're not getting on our knees for them. Absolutely not.
We would appreciate it, but
absolutely.
Anyways, that wraps up our episode of The Dagger. And as always, Hank,
let's ride.
Let's ride.